Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for making your way here, checking out this episode. You should probably go ahead and hit that subscribe button while you're at it because it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world, and you do that because we put out three new interviews every single week. Three episodes, one on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So follow along, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you like to get your podcast, and we'll deliver the goods straight to you. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking with Biba Doobie about her album Fake It Flowers. We'll discuss, as she says, her surprise success, where she's found inspiration these last couple years, and the art of therapeutic songwriting. She also tells us about some characters that she took inspiration from, specifically Charlie Brown and the Peanuts, as a window into mental health. We'll also discuss challenging the listener, her love of Daniel Johnson, and the big radio single on this record, Care, as the hypothetical closer to the movie 10 Things I Hate About You and or the television show Freaks and Geeks. B also says she's already finished with new music, so we'll get into that as well. Discussing this record, Fake It Flowers, it's Kyle Meredith with Biba Doobie.
Hey.
First off, I'm sort of obsessed with this record. It's so, so good. I got to wonder, though, you know, it's not your first release, I should say, because you've done a handful of EPs, but does this feel different that it's the full album?
Definitely. I feel like it took some time kind of getting ready to write a full-length album because I was just releasing EPs prior, but I think because of touring, because of life and growing up, you know, I had enough to write about and I had enough to want to write about. And yeah, it's cool. It's fun. I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. I mean, no, I guess I'm surprised almost that, like you said, that you had enough to write about because, you know, establishing yourself over the last couple of years, I know that does mean a lot of time on the road and that you had been releasing songs anyway. It's almost like, where did you find the time to live life to get the inspiration for these songs?
I think it was, you know, a lot happened on tour. You know, I made loads of mistakes and I experienced a lot of things and you know, the time I had, but even like in the evenings when I was alone, like it made, like, I was pretty messed up on tour because I had so much time to think about things that happened to me in my childhood and how that's affected me as a grown woman. And then at the same time, I was also learning and discovering new things and experiencing new things. So it was pretty overwhelming because I was kind of thrown into this new thing and also had to kind of force myself to grow up as quickly as possible. And obviously from someone who didn't expect any of this to happen, it was 10 times even more overwhelming because I was just like, oh, I want to be a nursery teacher. I'm going to go to university and do my thing. But all of a sudden, like, I got all this attention that I never really thought people, you know, I was not used to people even caring or knowing who I was. And yeah, it was weird. And I think that's what made me write so much.
The amount of artists that was supposed to have been teachers. I think there's probably a good book in that somewhere, like Sting from the Police was supposed to be a teacher. You know, it's that whole thing. That's interesting. So with all of that happening, then you still have started to call these songs your most personal songs. For as a songwriter, then what was the challenge there? I mean, was it difficult for you to let yourself go to find a deeper truth? Was that part of it? Like, hey, you got to go the full distance on this song.
I feel like it was just, I had to, like it was, I had to write about it or else I was going to go insane. And I think writing music for me is kind of like therapy, and it's like getting things off my chest. And, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, my feelings are pretty conflicted with it because I'm writing about things that are super personal about my life. And that means people are going to know so much about me. But then at the same time, I need to do this in order for me to be okay. But I feel like at the end of the day, I always tell myself, you know, if at least one person can relate to a song, you know, that means I've done something right, right? And I like writing music. I love writing things that are honest and things that is genuine to me. And I feel like it kind of happened without force. It just kind of happened.
Well, it's interesting to hear the diversity in the moods that's happening across this record. You know, I'll bring up the song Charlie Brown as maybe the, I don't know if it's literally the angriest, it's definitely the loudest moment on here and the heaviest moment on here. And I've heard you sort of in another interview, you know, kind of back off about what it's about, and that's fine. But also after seeing you in other interviews wearing a Charlie Brown shirt, I sort of wonder like, what's Charlie Brown mean to you in all of this?
Well, yeah, I guess it's, you know, I'm obsessed with Charlie Brown. I feel like it was the first introduction to kind of mental health and that it's okay to not be okay. And I have a Charlie Brown strip on my
arm. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, me talking about the tattoo and how it's inked up on my arm, I feel like it's, you know, it makes so much more sense if you kind of understand, like, what I'm trying to say, if that is, it is a really sad song. And it was about the struggles I had as a teenager and about, you know, what I used to do. And I think it's one of the most personal ones, but I think I kind of tried to hide its sadness with me shouting really loudly.
It's a great moment. It's a very therapeutic moment. In the way you kind of paint that, you know, of course, I'm thinking of Lucy with the therapist, you know, booth that she has for a nickel and Charlie missing the football every single time. And that sort of goes into another song for me. And I talk about, you know, the heavier emotional moments on here, because Diet Red, you know, we start off with a kiss my ass, fuck me right away. Like, do you go into that knowing that it's going to be a kiss off moment?
Yeah. I wanted it to be kind of like, I wanted people to be like, what the fuck, this is a bit, you know, I wanted to make people feel kind of uncomfortable, but I just kind of wanted to say it straight. And it's not actually from my own experience, but it's from experience that I've heard from other people. And I was like, I'm just going to say it straight, because I am not like an amazing lyricist where I'm like using imagery and like all those like big fancy words. If I want to say something, I'm just going to say it like, I got kicked out of school, like I'm not that intelligent. I feel like, and it's quite empowering saying the first verse. I think it's really fun.
Yeah, you know, don't sell yourself short, because your poetry is there. And even on the, you know, the first official, I should say, radio single, you know, with Care, a song, again, I just cannot get enough of right now. I mean, there is that poetry all the way through that, how you're painting it. I also like how you talk about that song, about having an end of 90s movie vibe to it. And, you know, I'm a product of that era right there. So what I did want to wonder is, what movie might you have in mind, a real movie that would have finished?
Like 10 Things I Hate About You, or it could be like in Freaks and Geeks,
right?
Like one of the episodes, or like, yeah, just like, or like just like a chick flick. But yeah, I feel like I want to say The Craft, but I feel like another song in the album suits that movie more than Care. But yeah.
You talk about a few of the greatest soundtracks of all time. I mean, for as much as I, you know, love my 90s movies, like soundtracks have been, I think, some one of the most important things to me. So hearing you sort of talk about your music in that way, I mean, I identify with that. But when you're writing it, I mean, are you seeing that in your head too? Are you like revisiting those, you know, 10 things moments and stuff?
Definitely, like maybe at the beginning, not really, but when I properly get into it, I'm very visual and I kind of see this like music video idea and like, you know, definitely that is definitely a thing. And it's probably to do with the fact that my boyfriend's like, he directs all my music videos and he's really into film and he wants to be a film director. And we both love watching movies and I feel like it's kind of ingrained in my brain to kind of just have this like massive imagination.
I love how it plays out. And again, with on the musical side of things too, the way, you know, you build on a song that's as big as Care, as big as Sorry, you know, and Charlie Brown Before, but there are these lo-fi moments. Yeah, I know you're a Daniel Johnson fan. What attracts you to that bare minimum style of sound?
I think it's just like you can hear the pure, like the innocence in that and the kind of, you know, the... what's the word, like it's almost like untouched and pure, and that's why I love his stuff, because it's so raw and you can hear his mistakes, you can hear his breathing, and you can hear like the shittiness of the four track, and I really admire that. And you can like it, that really shows in his lyricism as well. It's like Kimye Dawson and the way she writes music. And I wanted to, you know, get a song, like use a song from the album. How Was Your Day was recorded on four track, very Daniel Johnson inspired, but I guess the lyrics were the most honest. And it talks about how I kind of, you know, I've kind of lost myself on tour and how I was leaving everything from home behind. And I thought, you know, recording it on a really shitty four track in my boyfriend's garden would be the most perfect way to do it.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of the how's your day versus the hi, how are you, but I see maybe even the unintentional connection there. That's really cool.
I literally just clocked that, yeah.
And covering Walking the Cow, by the way, I mean, talk about great deep cuts. I mean, that, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, some great covers of that through the years, but all props there. I'll wrap up here because, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves as Fake Flowers finally arrives, but I don't think it's any surprise given your history of output that, is it true that you're already working on new stuff, like in the recording studio?
Oh, I've already finished the other thing that's coming out. So yeah, I'm taking a break from kind of like properly writing and focusing on like living in the Fake It Flowers world, because I've already written for the next thing after. But yeah.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to hear that. I imagine it's going to be as big sounding as this one. I guess I'm hoping so anyway. So, such a fan. Bea, it's such a pleasure to meet you on here. Thank you so much for doing this. Congratulations on Fake It Flowers.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. We'll see you around.
Okay. Bye.
My thanks, Biba Doobie. The record Fake It Flowers is amazing. Also, thanks to you for checking out this episode. Before you get out, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all of the brand new interviews that we release every single week. Again, you can find us at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you like to get your podcast from. Just type in Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris. The list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.